Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you've brought us together today. We pray now that your living word will do its work in our lives. Father, help us to see the big picture of what you're doing in this world and the part that we play in that. And Father, we pray that our view of you will grow today. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. When I was taking some year 5 and 6 classes, the first couple of weeks, I always like to find out what are the students thinking, so it can help to tailor the lessons that I brought. And so I got them to finish this sentence. When I think God, I think, well, what do you think, is what I was asking them. And over the years, these are the kind of responses that would come as they finished this sentence. When I think God, I think Superman. God is like Superman, very strong and seeking justice and doing good to all. Others said, when I think God, I think grandfather. The grandfathers that are nice and kind and gentle and kind of just then ignore you, ignore what you do wrong. That's what I think God is like. Next, when I think God, I think, well, actually, there's no God. Even in Scripture, there were atheists, which is good. They parents happy for them to be there, but some kids said, there is no God. Others said, when I think God, I think angry policemen. Now, we need the police, of course, but some people think of God, and some students thought of God. God is an angry police person just waiting for you to do something wrong, and then we'll punish you. When I think God, I think watchmaker. Someone who's very clever, got the world going, has let it go, and then stands off and doesn't get involved anymore. When I think God, others said, well, I just don't know. And I love that honesty. I just don't know. And as you talk to people, I'm sure they have ideas about God. Of course, we too have ideas about God. Now today, here's a picture of summarizes those six. And there's lots of other views about God out there as well, aren't there? Some say also like, oh, God's a great big killjoy. Doesn't let you enjoy anything. Other things like that. Now today we're finishing off our series on Romans 9 to 11. And as we do that, what we are hoping to get, and I'm praying that we get, that when we think God, we think an olive tree, we think mercy, and we think big. When we think God, think mercy, and think big. That's our aim today. That's what Romans 11 will teach us. Think mercy, think big as we think of God. And we'll see that as we get this question answered. Has God totally rejected his people, the Israelites? You might recall, this is the question that's been answered from Romans 9. Most Jews hadn't accepted the message about Jesus as it went out, and the apostle has given two answers as to why. The first, God works by election, that he chooses those who are going to be saved. He chooses some to be saved, others he hardens, all for his glory. And there are Jews amongst that, but not every Jew, not every Gentile. God works by election, and the second one, God always works by faith. Thank you. And sadly, most Jews have not believed, even from the beginning, when God chose Abraham. Again and again and again, the Jewish people said no, no, no to God. Before Jesus came, when Jesus was here, and after Jesus. And so the question is, well, is that it for the Jews? Have they come to the point where God says, that's it, that's enough? Romans 11, I ask then, did God reject his people? By no means. That is a very strong no. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Well, we got it? No. God has not rejected his people, the Jews. And as we see the answer in this chapter, we're going to see when we think God, think mercy. When we think God, think big. Think mercy, think big. By no means, God has not rejected his people. And the apostle says, first of all, look at the present. And he says, look at me. I'm an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. He says, look at me. I'm a dinky-dyed Jew. I'm a kosher Jew. I'm from the family line of Abraham, and I get Jesus as the Lord. I believe that he is the Lord. I've confessed with my mouth Jesus is Lord and believe he raised him from the dead. I'm saved. In verse 2, he goes on to say, God does not reject, did not, those he foreknew, those he's chosen. Takes us back to chapter 8, where God's chosen us as Gentile, all Gentiles that are chosen. God does not forget his elect. God does not forget his elect. And in the present, that's the case, and also in the past. Look at the next few verses there. The example of Elijah is Paul the Apostle writes about. Now, Elijah, back in 1 Kings, you might remember, has an amazing experience where fire comes down from heaven, demonstrates the prophets of Baal that God is God. And he's scared, and he thinks, God, I'm the only true blue Jew left. And what does God say? No. There's 7,000 that I've reserved. 7,000 I've shown mercy to. 7,000 that he's chosen, that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. So has God neglected his people? No. Look at the present. Look at Paul. Has God neglected his people? No. Look at the past. Look at Elijah and the 7,000 there. And then he says, look at the present again. Verse 5. See, so too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. A remnant is a smaller part of the whole, what's left over. See, at the present time, and since that time, there's a remnant of the Jewish people who, when they hear the gospel, they'll say, yes, I believe in Jesus as the Messiah, and they're saved. A remnant chosen by grace, like the Apostle Paul was. And other Jews, as the gospel has gone out, they respond. And so God has not neglected, and he's not neglecting his people, the Israelites. And next week, in God's providence and timing, we'll have a visit from this gentleman, God willing. His name's Bob Mendelson, and he's a Jew. He's a Jew that loves Jesus. He's part of the remnant. Now, when planning the guy from Jews for Jesus to come and Romans 9 to 11, I didn't have in mind how to fit that together, but in God's providence and kindness, it has. So next week, God willing, we'll meet Bob. He's going to do a presentation for us about Christ in the Passover. And so that will be, we had it many, many years ago. It will show us how Christ fulfills the Passover from Exodus 12. So, of course, it's always good to come to church, if you will. And so next week is included in that. And it's good, and if you want to, there'll be opportunity to support the work of Jews for Jesus financially over and above whatever you're giving as well. So there's a remnant chosen by grace. God has not neglected his people. The others, though, are hardened. See, present time, a remnant chosen by grace. The others were hardened, as it is written. God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that could not see and ears that could not hear to this very day. There is still the majority of Jews who reject Jesus as the Messiah. And so that raises the question in verse 11, a similar question to before. Again, I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? And again, not at all. Again, no, never, no, not, no, 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 no. Well, we got it? No. Be like a parent. No, no. Can I do it? No. Can I do it? No. God has not rejected his people in the past, the present, here. And See, there's a purpose in God's big plan of how he works. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles. See, as you reach the book of Acts, you see this pattern again and again and again. The message goes first to the Jewish people, and they say no, mostly. One example is in the chapter 13 of Acts. See, the message has come up here from Jerusalem, and this is the Apostle Paul on his first missionary journey. He's up here in Antioch, in modern-day Turkey, and this is what happens there. In verse 46, Acts 13. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly. Them, that means the Jewish people, we had to speak the word of God to you first. Why? Remember Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea. So to the Jew first, then the Gentile. Romans 1, the gospel is the power of God to save everyone who believes, first for the, then the Gentile. This is a pattern that's working out here. We had to speak to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I've made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honoured the word of God. And all who were appointed for eternal life believed. All who were appointed for eternal life. All whom God had chosen. So there's this pattern that has gone on. The gospel goes to the Jews first. They mostly say no, except the elect remnant. They say no, so the gospel goes to the Gentiles, to the world. And the elect Gentiles, they say yes. We've said yes to Jesus. There is this pattern that's gone on. And salvation has gone to the Gentiles because the Jews reject it. But again, the Jews aren't forgotten. This pattern is to make Israel envious. See, in the Old Testament, the Jews had the great privilege of God speaking to them. The great privilege of being in God's family. They kept saying no, no. And now the Gentiles, us, we've accepted the message. We know God is our loving Heavenly Father. All Gentile Christians, we all have the Holy Spirit. We know God in a far deeper way than any Old Testament believer did. Because in the Old Testament, not every Jew had the Holy Spirit, but as Gentile believers, we all do. And the idea is, Paul is going to make much of his apostleship to the Gentiles to make Israel envious and jealous, saying, wow, they know God like we used to know God, and even deeper. I want what they've got. That's the idea here. And so this pattern continues. So the Jews aren't neglected. The gospel goes to Gentiles to make Israel envious, so they say yes, if they're elect, of course, to the gospel. And that's the pattern that's continuing today. And see, with this, there is a hint that in the future, there's going to be a larger group of Jewish people respond to the gospel. For if their rejection, verse 15, if their rejection brought reconciliation to the world, that is, the Jews rejecting the gospel meant that it went to the Gentile world, what will their acceptance in the future be but life from the dead? If the first part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. It's saying the remnant who are believing now is a picture of a larger group of Jewish people who are going to be saved sometime in the future. If what's true for the remnant is true for the larger group that will come in at some point. And here the apostle begins speaking about trees and branches and so forth. And in the next section here, the apostle uses it as a way of teaching the Gentile Christians something very important. And what it is this. There is one tree of salvation, and the olive tree, and that represents Israel. One tree of salvation for everybody, and it is a Jewish tree. A Jewish tree. A Jewish root. And we Gentiles, we've been grafted in to the Jewish root. And so we'll see this as we look at this next part. Verse 17. If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not consider yourself to be superior to those other branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. Okay, a Jewish root to this tree of salvation. You will then say, branches were cut off or broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted. But they were broken off because of unbelief. You stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but tremble. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. See, as Gentile believers, we can't say, hey, aren't we smart? Those Jews, they just don't get it. Be wary of thinking like that. Never think like that. We share in the one tree of salvation, which is the Jewish tree. Jesus was a Jew. We follow a Jew. He is a Jew. See, when the Gentiles started coming in, God did not plant another tree. We are grafted into the Jewish tree. And I've been thinking, how can we remind each other that we have this Jewish root, that we're grafted in? And one way is to begin our prayers, perhaps not all the time, but sometimes, and say, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, our God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that we're grafted into the tree. We'll pray that like that today, a bit later on. Our God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so, can I encourage parents to pray with your children like that? Why? Well, hopefully it'll remind you that we have a Jewish root to salvation. And the kids will say, why do you pray like that? Oh, thanks for asking. And it's an opportunity to then say, hey, we follow Jesus, the Lord, he's a Jew, and we're grafted in. See, the mercy God's shown to Israel in choosing Abraham, he hasn't rejected that, but he's built on it. See, God has not rejected his people. As he teaches us not to be arrogant, he's also telling us, don't forget your Jewish roots. You want to do an ancestry.com DNA? Now, my parents did that, and most of their DNA, and so my DNA, comes from Europe. But my spiritual DNA, very different. It's Jewish roots. Your spiritual DNA have Jewish roots. We mustn't forget that. Salvation is from the Jews. We're grafted in. And perhaps in your Bible study groups, pray like that as well. Our God and Father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, we're not doing that just because we've got a fellow Christian coming next week who's from a Jewish background. We're not doing that just because of that. But it fits in nicely to do that. We can't become arrogant. We don't support the root. The root supports us. Consider the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided you continue. Otherwise, you'll be cut off. See, if the Jews were cut off because of disbelief, if we turn away, we're going to be cut off as well. So there's been hints along the way here of a future large incoming of Jewish people to Jesus. And we see this again in verse 23. And if they, that is the Jewish people, do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. After all, If you are cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature, and contrary to nature were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much more readily will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Now, I know nothing about gardening. I've not got a green thumb. But those of you who know gardening, I think will get this more than those that don't. But even I get this a bit, like unnatural tree grafted into a different kind of tree. If that can work, how much more readily the natural branches come back in? The tree of salvation has this Jewish root. Us Gentiles have been grafted in. Don't be arrogant. Let's not be arrogant about that. God has not neglected his people. And there's hints here of a future large incoming of Jewish people to Jesus. And that kind of builds as the passage continues. Verse 25, I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers and sisters, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. So there's hints here that in the future, sometime and in some way, a large number of Jewish people will come and accept Jesus. How will that happen? Will happen as the word goes out to them. When will it happen? I don't know. If we try to pinpoint it, it can only lead to kind of speculation. So we're back to here again. Gospel goes to Jews. Most say no, and they're hardened. That means the gospel goes to the Gentiles. It keeps going to the Gentiles. And some point in the future, when the full number of Gentiles has come in, there's a picture here of Israel being jealous, envious, and a larger group coming in. Again, if we try to pinpoint that, it leaves a bit of a speculation. So the passage ends with God reminding us that he is the merciful God to all. The merciful God to all. The last word to the Jew is not judgment, it is mercy. Mercy means holding back the judgment. It doesn't mean that every individual Jew will be saved one day or every individual Gentile will be saved one day. But there are hints here that a large number of Jews will follow Jesus one day than they currently do. He's a merciful God to all. I spoke to Bob during the week, Bob Mendelson, that the Jew who follows Jesus is coming next week, and I said, Bob, what can we pray, particularly about you coming next week? He said, pray that every Jew in Eagleville will come. I said, okay, we'll pray that. And I thought, I wonder how many Jews there are in Eagleville. And I looked up on the website. According to 2016 census, there's none. Campbelltown, there's none. But you just never know. Somebody may have moved in since 2016. That's 4 years. So let's be praying that somehow we meet a Jew this week and invite them to church. God has not neglected the Jews. Verse 32. For God has bound everyone over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. Judgment is not God's final word. You look at the end of the prophets in the Old Testament. Lots of judgment, but they end with mercy being offered to all. And the last book, Revelation, of the Bible finishes with grace be to God's people. There is judgment, of course, for those that reject. The last word in the Bible says, the grace of God be with God's people. That's what we know and love about our great God, isn't it? God is the great God of mercy. So he's merciful to all, and that's why we keep offering the gospel to all. And with thanks to God, between 30 and 40, sometimes more, non-believers each week hear the gospel, the good news, through our different groups. We're going to keep that going. And it's good also to support the gospel going to the Jewish people. God is merciful to them as well. And so that's keep being involved. Next week, as you hear Bob, you might think, I want to be more involved with that ministry. Great, praise God. When I think God, I think a whole range of different views out there, aren't there? When we think God, think mercy. Mercy shown to the Jews in God chose Abraham, who have been grafted into that tree. Think mercy. Now, I know we've been challenged, haven't we, going through Romans 9 to 11, God hardening, God choosing, lots of questions still. That's good. Keep poring over the Bible. God working through faiths, some disbelieving. Has God given up on the Jews? No. In some ways, we've just sort of scratched the surface of Romans 9 to 11. I want to encourage you to keep delving in, keep reading it. Perhaps in your Bible study groups, we're doing our Bible study group, look into it deeper. When we think God, think mercy. We're only kind of scratched the surface. Keep going deeper. And we perhaps don't understand all of it. That's okay. We're not God. And that's really the point. To remind us of who we are, we're the clay being shaped by this great merciful God. And that's why Romans 9 to 11 ends on this note of praise to God. Think mercy in the context of thinking how big God is. Think mercy, think big. Bigger than BHP, way bigger than BHP. Think God, think big. And so to remind us of that, let's say together, actually let's stand and we'll say together this last bit of Romans 11 to remind us of the greatness of our God and how big he is. We say together, oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Let us pray. Our great God and Father, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our great God and Father, through your Son, by your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for the mercy you've lavished upon us. Help us not to be arrogant, but know that your mercy is for all, both Jew and Gentile. You haven't neglected your ancient people. You won't neglect your ancient people. You never will. Father, we thank you that you've grafted us in to your tree of salvation. Help us not to be arrogant, but to tremble and to continue in faith, trusting you day by day. And we ask in Jesus' name, Amen. Please take a seat.